May these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do please sit down. When I started going to church, I had a sense that God was calling me, but I didn't really know what to. I didn't know what it was that I was looking for, what it was that I didn't have yet. I've heard it said that there are two great days in a person's life, the day we're born and the day we discover why. Well, on this day, my church were having a special service held outside. It was Trinity Sunday, and our vicar was preaching on the Trinity. He showed us a picture of Rublev's famous icon, in which you can see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all seated around a table. And at the front of the picture, there's a gap. That gap is for you, he said. It's your invitation to enter into a relationship with God. A relationship with God, I thought. Oh, that's what I don't have. So I said to God, I'm sorry. I never put you first in my life. Please, can you help me do that? And after I'd prayed that prayer, I felt really good. But I wasn't quite sure why. So I went home, and that evening, I found myself worshipping God. The songs that we'd been singing together as a church outside came into my head, and I was quietly worshipping. And I looked up, and I saw a beam of light coming down from the ceiling. And it was so bright that when I looked at it, it didn't hurt my eyes though. And as I looked at this beam of light that was just not like anything I'd ever seen, I looked and I felt a sense of complete peace come over my whole body. I was being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that moment changed everything. From that moment on, I knew that I did have a relationship with God. I'd received the Holy Spirit, and I'd become a child of God. Because God calls us into a relationship. That is our primary calling. Once we enter into that relationship, we receive the Holy Spirit and we're in Christ. We're all baptized into one body. We become part of the body of Christ. And as we continue in that relationship, we'll find that Christ will show us the best way for us to live out that calling, the best way for us to deepen that relationship with God. And this is what we mean when we talk about vocation. So this was a really exciting time for me because I was beginning to learn what my vocation in Christ was to be. I felt great. I had a great story to tell. And so I told it. I told it to my church family, and then they asked me if I would tell it at a deanery synod. Now, the next deanery synod was going to have the Bishop of Chelmsford at it, so it was quite a big thing, but I didn't really know what a deanery synod was. Anyway, I said yes. And the night before, I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I prayed about it. And I said to God, now, I'm going to be speaking to a room full of vicars. What do I say to them? God, I don't know how people do that job. It's an awful job. I really wouldn't fancy it. I hope you never ask me to do that. And as soon as I'd said those words, I felt a very strong feeling, a very uncomfortable feeling. The feeling was that God was saying to me, "You will do that." Well, I found it very difficult to see myself doing that. I thought about my vicar. I couldn't see myself in his shoes. Well, they were about 10 sizes too big for a start. But we were different in almost every way you could imagine. Probably the only thing we did have in common was that we both loved Jesus. When I looked at him, I thought, no, that's not for me. It's not for people like me. It's for people like him. Privately educated, male, good at public speaking. He preaches without notes. That's just not me. And actually, I was right. That's not who I am. But God knew that already. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthian Christians, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many." So yes, perhaps the only thing that my vicar and I did have in common was our love for Jesus. And maybe if we look around us now at the members of our church sitting here, we may see people who are like us, but we may see people who are not very much like us at all. But that's a good thing. We can't all be a foot, or an eye, or indeed a hand. We're all called to take up different and unique parts within the body of Christ. We all come with different past experience. We all have different gifts to offer. There is no one gift that's worth any more than any other. We're all called to work together as the body of Christ to build God's kingdom here on earth. So perhaps, I thought, I could do that by continuing to be a Sunday school teacher. I thought, I've been a primary school teacher for quite a long time, teaching children. That's my vocation. I could just carry on doing that. Surely that's enough. Well, the thing is, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God can see things that we can't see. And if God is calling you to do something, then it will be through that that you become more fully yourself. Who you are now is not who you've been created to be. God calls us all to become more fully ourselves in Christ as we respond to his call on our lives. Christ himself models this for us, claiming his own vocation, doing what the Holy Spirit had anointed him for, aligning himself with the words in Isaiah from our gospel reading. He was responding to God's call on his life, fulfilling his own unique purpose. And I've read that discerning your vocation is actually a process of unearthing your deepest desires. When you offer your life to God to do with as God wills, then you'll find that this vocation is something that you were made to do. You find you have the shape for it. You have what it takes, because God knows that, of course, even if perhaps you don't yet. So one day, when I was looking at a website for a church, a job advert popped up, and it said, "Parish priest." That's strange, I thought. I don't remember clicking on anything like that. But as it was there, I thought I may as well read it. And so I read the advert and I found that it seemed to be describing me, which was worrying. But then when I got to the end and realised that actually I wasn't ordained. I didn't really have the qualifications or a mature faith. So I then felt quite relieved because it obviously didn't describe me. And the day after that happened to me, I was speaking to a friend of mine. And I was speaking with enthusiasm about one of our team vicars. And I said to her, did you know that his wife used to be a primary school teacher like me? But now she's a vicar. And she turned to me and she said, you could do that. Do what? I said, you could be a vicar. Why'd you say that? I asked her. Well, because it sounds like you want to. And it's just a couple of years at college. You could do that. How did she know? I hadn't told her. But that was it. I told her about what had been happening to me, about how God was calling me, and her saying that made me realise that I'd now changed from someone who really didn't want to say yes into someone who couldn't say no. I realised that vicars were not only privileged men. God had been opening my eyes to the fact that ordained ministers come in all shapes and sizes, from all types of backgrounds. They can be male or female. Some of them were primary school teachers, like me. There are many kinds of spiritual gifts, gifts that can be used to help build God's kingdom. I wonder if we are all fully aware of the gifts that we have. Are we listening to the voices that call out our gifts? The friends we trust who spot them? The scripture that speaks to our hearts about what it really desires? The magnetic pull of the Holy Spirit attracting us to the places and people that will help us to grow those gifts and to share them? We hear about some of these gifts in Paul's letter. These gifts equip us for all kinds of ministry. After listing some of them, Paul says that actually we should strive for the greater gifts. But what are these greater gifts? Aren't all gifts just as valuable in building God's kingdom? Well, after Paul says this, he says that he will show us a still more excellent way and continues to say some very well-known words about love, about how without love, whatever gifts we have are worth nothing. Love is the only context for gifts. If the gifts we have are not offered up out of love, then they're worth nothing. Then we're using them to do what we want, not what God intends. We may be doing a great job of using our gifts to build our own kingdom, but we'll not be building God's kingdom, not until we offer all that we are to God to do with as God wills. God is calling us all into an ever-deepening relationship with him, a relationship that transforms our identity. And the question for each of us is, do I know what my vocation in Christ is? What exactly is God calling me to be? And perhaps, how will I allow God to show me? Let's pray that this year will be a year when we all allow God to show us our vocation in Christ, and when we see what it is to be, that we have the confidence to say yes. Amen.